I'd like to encourage you to open that Bible once again to the reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Now that can be found on page 1293 of the Bible provided for you here at the church. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Here we are, Lord, once again, on a Sunday morning in your house, as we take a close look at the words of Peter this morning. Open our eyes. Give us understanding of what it means to see you and draw close to you. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now we have a theme for the year here, devoted to serve. Today I want to speak to you about developing a close, personal relationship with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you might say, well, I know there is a God. I see His handiwork in all of creation, but I don't know Him. Do you have a close, personal relationship with God? If the answer is no, then, hey, hopefully you can learn something along with me from the words of Peter. Now, I want to get personal with you this morning. When it comes to adults who meet, fall in love, get married, I do not believe in love at first sight. Sorry. Some of you might disagree with that. Now, the first time I saw my wife, Sabina, working at Dillard's, it was not love at first sight. It was something like, whoa, man, is she beautiful? It was not love at first sight. But I'm here to tell you, I believe in love at first sight. It did not happen with Sabina. But when that nurse handed me little Rachel as a baby, it was love at first sight and an unbelievable commitment at first sight. There was a whole nother level of love that I'd never experienced before. It happened again when that nurse handed me my first grandchild. It was love at first sight. And all my grandchildren. Now, if you're here this morning and you have children, you have grandchildren, you know exactly what I mean. There's another level. When it comes to our God, throughout the Bible, from the book of Genesis to Revelation, God is always trying to move His people from the physical realm of life to a spiritual realm, another level of love and commitment. You might say, my love for my wife is physical, but boy, when it comes to those grandchildren, it doesn't matter what they look like, I'd rather love them. There's that level. Well, Jesus is always doing that with the disciples when He walked with them. One time He said to the disciples, who do the people say that I am? Peter. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, you're right, Peter. Blessed are you, you little pebble. Upon this mountain, I will build the church himself. He says, now Peter, listen up. That was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. It wasn't physical. But my heavenly Father revealed this to you, enabled you to see me that way. He moved Peter from this level to another level. But did Peter have a personal relationship with Jesus at that time? No, he didn't. But he was being drawn in. You know, when a baby is born, they're just goo and gah. But the minute they start walking, they're on the move. They walk through the house. They walk to the park. They walk to school. They walk to high school. They walk to college. They walk down the aisle to get married. And they walk out of your life. Mobile. Well, if you understand that in the physical world, it happens spiritually. We're going to take a look at how Peter says we're born again, like a caterpillar. And at first we crawl, but all of a sudden we get walking. And in that walking, we take steps that draw us near to God. And the steps I want to talk to you about are the step of hope, inheritance, and power. Let's take a closer look at what Peter says to us this morning. Listen to his words again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, the God who created the heavens and the earth. According to his great mercy, I'm here to tell you, none of us here deserves God's mercy. We have sinned and done so many things wrong, but God sees us and says, because of my Son, I forgive you. He gives us what we need, a new life, a second chance. Listen how he explains it. He has caused us to be born again. He has caused us, we can't do it ourselves, to be born again, a second time. You were born once physically. God did that. And God will cause in your life a second birth. Now, it was Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. He wanted to draw close to Jesus. And he said, now, Jesus, we know you're from heaven. We know that. And Jesus said, let me tell you, unless you're born again, you can't see heaven or enter it. And Nicodemus goes, physical. Do I need to crawl back into my mother's womb? Jesus says, no. You have to be born again through water and the Spirit, through the power of the Heavenly Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. Then you will see. Then you will enter. But look, listen to how he describes it. We're born again, verse 3, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Have you ever met somebody who has no hope? They're kind of depressed. Life isn't worth living if you don't have hope. Let me tell you where it really shows up at funerals. I do a lot of those. And when there's no hope for the afterlife, you want to talk about a depressing funeral. But when there's hope, when you know where somebody's going, all of a sudden, yes, you mourn, you grieve, but you have hope in the resurrection, and it changes people. It enables them to live even in a different way. All of a sudden, wow. Now let's take a look at Peter, once again, who wrote these words. Remember Peter before the cross? Peter denies Jesus 3 times, calls down curses from heaven. He's fearful. He's a wimp. But then Jesus rises from the dead. And all of a sudden, fear turns into fearlessness. No courage into courageous. And he proclaims Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And he died confessing that as a martyr. What was the change? He saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus walked on earth, he made some incredible promises. No man since, before or since, have made them. Jesus said, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus made this proclamation. In this world, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Who's ever made that statement? There's a lot of truth in this world, right? Or truths. There's a lot of different ways the world wants to lead you. But who can you trust? Then Jesus said it like this. If you hear my words and believe in the one who has sent me, you have eternal life. You will not be judged. You have crossed from death to life. Wow. Those are some incredible promises. And then he backed it all up by rising on the third day. Oh, somebody might ask, well, how do we know that's true? For thousands of years, prophets predicted it was coming. It was going to happen. That he'd be born in Bethlehem. He'd die on a cross and the third day rise from the dead. When Jesus walked on earth, he said, now listen, I'm going to Jerusalem. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to die on the cross and I'll rise on the third day. Not only did prophets predict it for thousands of years, Jesus predicted it and then he did it. And then all the eyewitnesses, the New Testament, apostles, the disciples, 500 people at once. That's how you know it's true. It's attested to. And we have that living hope. Listen to how he continues those steps to a personal relationship with Christ. First of all, you've been born again into a living hope. Verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What do you have that's imperishable, never fading? In fact, everything you have is perishable and fading. It's a law of science, thermodynamics. Everything's going to just fade away and dissolve in this world. But we have treasures stored up in heaven, unperishable, unfading. It's a place in heaven where Jesus says he'll come and take us to be with him. See, we have that living hope, and we have an inheritance that we look forward to. We know, like, I dare say, a caterpillar, the best is yet to come. I'm going to have a new life in heaven. That enables you to live differently on earth. You know that someday you will see God in person. And you look forward to that. And that gives you a closer relationship with God. Listen to how Peter describes it. Verse 5. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Those baby steps where we get moving with that new life, coming out of that cocoon, if I dare say, we walk with a living hope. We have an inheritance and power to make it through this life. Have you ever noticed something happens to one person, they fall apart, another, they get stronger because they have God's power and protection. That's one thing God says, I'll protect you. Do you realize that? God says, I'll protect you. You know what our sinful nature wants to say? I can protect myself. Did you hear about the woman who wanted to protect herself and so she got concealed and carry gun and the license? Yeah, she got a gun. Put it in her purse, she was going to protect herself. And it was in her purse for 3 months. 3 months down the road, she went into Walmart, came out of Walmart, went to her car, and there were two guys in her car. She reached in, grabbed her gun, pointed, and she said, "Get out of the car!" The two guys in the car looked at her. She said, "Get out of the car now or I'll shoot!" Doors flew open. They ran, door slammed shut, and gone they were. She was so upset that that happened at Walmart. She turned around. She was going to tell the manager. She reached in her pocket, got the key fob, and hit the lock button. One row over, three cars down, same make, model, and color went beep. You know, we can try to protect ourselves. We'll mess it up. We need divine protection. We need a divine guardian. And that's what God promises, that we walk with Him. He will protect us. He works for the good of all those who love Him. And when we walk with Him, not only does He guard us, but He gives us power. And He draws us near to Himself. You're going to love this. This is how He does it. This is how you get close and personal with your God. You ready? Verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, for everyone, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory. You're going to love this. You know how God draws us close to Himself? By going through difficult times, struggles, problems, health issues, getting old. You know, there are some people who say, "Well, God never tempts." He never tempts, but He'll always test. How does He make your faith more genuine? How does God draw you closer to Himself? To that personal relationship. He allows you to go through difficult times. From Abraham, Moses, David, Job, everybody in the Bible goes through difficult times. And when you go through a difficult time, you get better. Kind of like gold. Yeah, it has to be put in the fire to be purified. God allows us to go through difficult times. So we trust Him. And through those difficult times, we get better. If you haven't gone through a difficult time lately, guess what? Probably coming. Listen, you got your Bible open? Listen to 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Have you ever gotten in trouble for doing good? Look at 1 Peter 4:19. Listen to Peter's words here. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Meaning when we let go and let God to protect us, to get us through things in life, we draw close to Him and something happens. We begin to fly. And enjoy this life like never before. Listen to how Peter records it. May be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. You see, I told you I don't believe in love at first sight except with my baby and my grandchildren. But there's another level. There's another level of love and commitment. It's without sight. Remember Moses, "I want to see your glory." You can't see it. Listen to how Peter describes it. Though you have not seen Him, that's God Almighty, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you will someday in heaven. You believe in Him, and you trust in Him, and you give Him your life, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressibly and filled with glory. obtaining the outcome of your faith. What's the outcome of that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The salvation of your soul. Let me put it this way. In life, you either are born once and die twice, or in this life, you're born twice and die once. For those who are born once, they never come to know their Lord and Savior, and they're never born again. They will die physically and on another level spiritually, because in the afterlife they'll never see Jesus. That's the spiritual death. But those on earth who are born once and born again through the power of God's word, when it's proclaimed to them and God begins a new work in them and they walk in that hope and that power and that inheritance, they only die once. That's the physical death. In heaven, you'll never die again. In heaven, you'll see God the Father. In heaven, you'll see Jesus face to face. In heaven is our home. We're just pilgrims here. And in heaven, there's going to be a change that takes place, like a caterpillar who turns into a butterfly. And because of that, we draw closer to our God. My prayer for all of you this morning is that you know that death is not the end. It's only a new beginning, a new life. Walk in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father, we want to draw closer to you. How does that happen? Well, you cause it to happen when you give us a new life, a new beginning. You enable us to walk in a hope that the world cannot give. Only you can. It's a living hope that gives us strength and power. We know there's a heaven, and we know there's a hell. And we know that in this life, to get through, we need your power and your strength. And when we go through a difficult time, enable us to turn it over to you and say, you protect us, you guard us, you get us through, and you will. To the salvation of our souls, we look forward to that. In Jesus' name, amen.